BDNL is an area where we have massive failure, and AI can actually identify the assets and the programs and companies that are adding meaningful criteria there to really put it in context of the broader clinical development landscape and competitors.
Welcome to AI for Pharma Growth, the podcast from pioneering pharma artificial intelligence entrepreneur, Dr. Andre Bates. This show aims to demystify AI for all those in biopharma, from startup biotech right through to big pharma. Each episode focuses on all things AI and future tech related to help pharma execs to navigate through the and benefit from the sometimes confusing but magical world of AI-powered tools to grow and get real-world results.
Today's episode is all about the state of AI in biopharma, with a specific focus on R&D, BDNL, and clinical trials. So AI is starting to be used in many areas in the value chain in pharma, with good reason. There's a lot of challenges that are being faced in pharma right now. We've got a lot of inefficiencies that are very costly across the pharma value chain. We've got a high molecule failure rate. Clinical trials are costly and lengthy, and we have increasing costs across the board. On top of that, we've got pricing pressures, we've got the upcoming patent cliff, we've got patient data availability now, which has skyrocketed, so that is changing the landscape. We've got all the advances in AI and supercomputing, which are really changing a lot of the landscape as well. We're moving to patient-centered healthcare, regulators are using AI, and we, of course, have so many innovative startups that have amazing advanced AI with huge amounts of funding. So in this kind of environment, if we consider R&D, BDNL, and clinical trials alone, and we could go through all the whole value chain, that would be another episode, we could actually be shaving years off the time to get a drug to market successfully and vastly improve the success of the molecules before we invest hundreds of millions to billions in it. So if you think about R&D to start with, you know, what can AI do in R&D? Well, it can aggregate and synthesize information. You know, we've got raw phenotypic data, imaging data, genomic data. So it can actually aggregate that and analyze it to enable fast decisions. We can also analyze hundreds of omics databases, the literature, the experimental data, the clinical trials, and really get much deeper insight into how the molecular mechanisms influence the cell and tissue functions and how these can then influence phenotypes and disease pathology. We can also generate models and data with train the machine learning models on data that's very large and high quality data sets. We can use AI to repurpose existing drugs. We can use it to generate new drug candidates. We can use it to validate drug candidates, and we can use it to design drugs. We can make and modify, just repeat that, we can make and modify DNA to enable prototyping and editing recombinant molecules for vaccines and biological medicines. So there were some great examples of this during COVID, and I can give you a few. I actually gave a talk way back in 2020 on this, and I remember looking into it then quite deeply. So Diagen in South Korea used AI to look at what existing approved drugs that were on the market would be effective in treating COVID. And they came up with etanazanavir. Benevolent AI looked at the same thing. They were using AI to say which approved drugs would be effective against COVID. And they came up with baricitinib. What is really interesting to me is I then went back and looked at the actual clinical trials with those two drugs, and they were both effective against COVID. But what was even more interesting is when you put them into a cocktail, a combination of the two of them combined, the efficacy was enhanced even further. Then we've got in silico medicine. And so what they did was basically say, okay, we're going to use AI to see what kind of molecule would actually effectively bind with the SARS-CoV-2 protein and block its ability to replicate. And they actually created a list in 4 days of over 10,000 molecules, which they honed down to 100 molecules. Then Iktos and SRI Biosciences combined forces. Now, they're two separate companies, but one of them has a database that can actually generate new molecules in terms of identify and say, similar to what InSilico did, in terms of what's the right molecule that would treat this condition effectively. And then the other one has a synthetic chemistry platform, so they can actually create the molecules themselves. And they came up with things in 1 to 2 weeks that were fully formed. So there's a lot, and that was, you know, quite a few years ago. So there's been a lot since then. And now Benevolent AI are doing a lot of drug discovery. In fact, AstraZeneca is using them throughout the discovery and R&D process. On top of that, companies are partnering with startups, and there's quite a few that I've actually had on my podcast. So, you know, Conquer in oncology, you know, they realized that over 90% of novel cancer drugs fail early in clinical trials. But that means there's a lot of data being generated. But the data would only hold limited value unless it could be interlinked to really generate meaningful biological insights into individualized patient responses to therapy. So they developed a platform that unifies the data from the biopharma diagnostics and healthcare providers to really address meaningful questions in precision oncology. And by allowing crosstalk between the different stakeholders, they can really provide a comprehensive view of patient data. So I would recommend that you go and listen to that episode, because it was a really fascinating one. And then another company that I have had on the podcast was NeuroX1 quite recently, and they are doing some very cool things. If you give them a target, they can use AI to really mold and generate the perfect molecule. AstraZeneca are using that kind of approach. AstraZeneca are doing a lot of really cool stuff right now. So they're using Benevolent AI for drug discovery, and they've got quite a few drugs in their pipeline that have come from Benevolent. They have a drug that is highly effective, but it had all sorts of issues with tolerability. And so they're using AI to retain the efficacy, but to minimize all the other aspects. So there's so many, and just, if you just go and look in my podcast list, there's even others, you know, Zephyr AI, there's a whole heap of really, really cool companies doing really cutting edge stuff. But of course, companies like Benevolent, who were really started to plug a gap, realized that, you know, maybe they could do it for themselves, and they are now. So they're also a pharmaceutical company. So they're actually generating drugs that they're bringing to market as well. So there's a lot going on in that space. And I think there's around 270 companies that I'm aware of that are doing very impressive things in that space. If we move into BDNL, you know, BDNL is an area where we have massive failure. And AI can actually identify the assets and the programs and companies that are adding meaningful criteria there to really put it in context of the broader clinical development landscape and competitors. And so from that, you can gain deep insights on what's going to drive the probability of success for identified assets and programs. And then, of course, track the emerging trends and link these to the historic likelihood of success as well as investment. And so in doing that, you're going to get greater than 90% faster search, synthesis, and communication of results, greater than 60% more search results with additional data points, and higher accuracy, at least 40% through sophisticated search algorithms. I've actually seen failures of 95% rates converted into success rates of 87%. So it's very, very powerful. In terms of clinical trials, you know, AI can design preclinical experiments. It can decode open and closed data on reagents such as antibodies and present published figures with actionable insights. And that's going to save a lot of time, money, and uncertainty in planning experiments. It can also run preclinical experiments. It can automate sample analysis with robotic cloud laboratories. It can design clinical trials, transform all these diverse streams of biomedical healthcare data into computer models representative of individual patients to deliver personalized medicine at scale. And it can recruit for trials. You know, we've done a lot of rare disease patient finding, both for clinical trials, but also for sales and marketing. So it can analyze patient records and claims data and look at who are the right patients with a specific biomarker or condition matching the requirements and hasten identification. Can optimize clinical trials. It can analyze cancer biomarkers in 60 seconds from a drop of blood using an at-home device slightly bigger than an Amazon Echo to optimize oncology drug development with a biomarker monitoring platform and millions of patient data points. Can conduct clinical trials with digital twins. Actually, I'm going to talk about that in a bit more detail. Before I get to that, I'll just finish off here. It can also write clinical study reports that are, we say 90% complete in an hour. They're actually 100%, but you know, in something that would take a team 6 weeks to do, it can be done in an hour. But you still want a human to check it just to be 100% sure. It's all good. But this digital twins and synthetic data is really changing things now. I was at a conference a few weeks ago that was all about digital twins in medicine. So I suppose I better explain what a digital twin is. A digital twin was invented by NASA way back in the day because they wanted to make sure that if something went wrong in space, they could figure it out, they could replicate the problem on Earth and send up a fix. So they started it. Then General Electric did the same thing with their power plants, and they created a digital twin of their power plant in case something went wrong, and then they could replicate it. So that was pretty powerful. For a long time now, we've been creating digital twins of human organs. So we have digital twins of heart, of pancreas, etc. What we are now doing, which is mind-blowingly cool, is there is a drug that has been approved by the FDA that had no animal testing in phase one, no human testing in phase two, and only humans in phase three, but the control arm was also synthetic data. So the FDA actually changed their regulations in 2022 about this. So now that means that phase one and two can literally be done on a computer in a very short time, less than a week. So that is changing the face of things. I know that at the beginning of the conference, the speaker said that that was a little while away. And then towards the end of the conference, one of the speakers was actually someone who had done it. So it's not a while away, it's done. And I know of one drug, but there's probably others that are going to be there quite soon. So what about big tech? You know, I do talk about this a bit, but you know, if you think about Alphabet and Amazon and a lot of these companies, they are really playing in this space, in the R&D space, the drug development space, the clinical space. So if we think about drug development, Microsoft, for example, they're heavily in this space now, and they're doing partnerships with Novo Nordisk and Novartis. If we think about Alphabet, a Google company, they're heavily in drug development. And they're also partnering with companies like AbbVie. Even Apple are in clinical development, and they are working with GlaxoSmithKline and Eli Lilly. And then Amazon are very much into the digital pharmacy. They are doing the health records, patient health records. They've got that data. And they're actually also working with Novartis and Pfizer on supply chain. So we've got some very interesting things going on with the partnerships with big tech and pharma. But not just big tech. You know, as I said, there's so many impressive startups in this space. And I've already mentioned Benevolent, although I guess you wouldn't call them a startup anymore, and NeuroX1 and Conquer, but there's so many more. As I said, there's over 270 companies that I know of personally that are in the AI drug discovery space. And they're really developing very efficient and precise drug discovery pipelines. And the algorithms that they're using allow companies to really rapidly and cost-effectively identify and prioritize new drug candidates while reducing drug failures. So this actually has the potential, if a company was using this throughout, to curb drug discovery costs by as much as 70%. There's so many untapped opportunities. And of course, many startups are trying to tap into these. And they're in a lot of diverse areas. So, you know, obviously there's digital therapeutics, quantum dots, et cetera, nanobots. But we're also seeing a lot of interesting startups doing really cool things with diagnostics and AI. And again, I've had some of these on my podcast. If you think about GRAIL and that episode where with a single blood draw, they can predict in people with no symptoms over 50 types of cancer when there's no symptoms. So this has a huge potential to reduce the incidence of cancer in humans. So what GRAIL have done with their Galleri test is incredible and has to be applauded. It's just amazing. But they're not the only one. There's also another company called Carius, and they're using AI for liquid biopsies in infectious disease. There's so many other ones out there that are doing incredibly things like Hera Biotech. And of course, I've got podcast episodes with GRAIL and Hera. So Hera Biotech are doing a non-invasive endometriosis prediction with AI, and very successfully. So there's so many areas where AI in diagnostics is so advanced and getting 99% accuracy. It's really, really strong. And of course, we've got Exscientia, who are designing drugs. We've got lots of startups that are making drugs for pharma clients like Benevolent, as I mentioned, and Exscientia. And I think Exscientia might be working with BMS, but they're both Benevolent and Exscientia are really making drugs to bring to market themselves, and they are effectively pharma companies now. So the role startups have is evolving. Initially, it was to plug gaps that they do better than big pharma, but as they get bigger, many are becoming pharma companies themselves. But there's still many parts of the process that are being developed in all these areas, such as discovery, R&D, screening, diagnostics, etc. So that's a bit of a whistle-stop tour of the space right now in R&D, BD&L, and clinical trials. And I will probably do a few more whistle-stop tours of other parts of the value chain in the future. Hope you enjoyed it. And if you have any questions, just drop me an email.
Thanks for listening to this episode of AI for Pharma Growth. If you have received huge value from this show, or maybe this episode has highlighted how you can use AI in your company, then we would love for you to support the show by leaving us a 5-star rating. Please make sure you hit the subscribe or follow button on your podcast app now to make sure you never miss an episode.